Welcome back to SEN Mornings. Play underway at Melbourne Park. Broken back here, Elise Merton. So 3-3 in the first set against Danielle Collins, the first of the round of 16 matches for the women today. Brett Phillips has been covering it all. He's the hardest working man in Melbourne at the moment. All for the Kia Super Fast Charging All-Electric Kia EV6. And BP's been good enough to join us again this morning. G'day, BP.
Morning, Jules. Yeah, just down here in the bows next to Rod Laver Arena, a little office we got here, and lots of towels, I've got to tell you. There's a wheelchair next to me. We're right next to where the players come in off court, so right down in the bows, a little microwave. I need to warm up something for lunch and plenty of water.
Oh, it sounds pretty good to me, BP, and I'm thinking of pretty good. Ash Barty was very good again last night against a dangerous opponent. Just looking forward now, who's her biggest danger now? Is it someone that's on her side that she's going to have to play to get to the final, or is there someone on the other side you think presents the biggest danger to Ash?
Yeah, I'm learning. I'm trying to just tell myself to go a game at a time. So I'm not even thinking about the other side of the draw at this stage because, you know, number one, she's got to get past Jessica Begula. So I think she deserves a little bit of respect because she's made a quarterfinal here. Last year, and actually then backed it up because that was her big breakthrough. She's come from the clouds a little bit, never really been a Grand Slam performer, but then actually went out on the tour post the AO last year and played a really consistent year, kept her ranking, which spiked up inside the top 30. So I think she is a really credible opponent, but once again, you know, we feel confident about Ash. It doesn't pose any, you know, massive warning signs or, you know, alarm bells at all. But if she got through that, you know, the winner of Barbora Krejcikova, French Open winner last year, who is just a smooth ball striker, always been a, you know, great doubles player, who's turned into this, you know, fantastic singles player, and she can't believe she's the number one Czech female player. But, you know, great to watch. She's, you know, crafty. Like Ash has played so much doubles. I mean, she's just all court. She's got everything. So, you know, she's up against a big hitter in Madison Keys, different style. So the winner of that, you know, presents, I think, you know, certainly some things for Ash to think about. Krejcikova with all her skill and Keys with her firepower. But as we've seen, I mean, you know, whether it be Anna Samova, Georgie in the last round, you know, Ash deals with these big ball strikers pretty well, Jules. So there's nothing really there that, you know, is jumping off the page as a major worry. I mean, Sabalenka, you know, still alive on the other side, who's, you know, lucky in some ways to be here. I mean, she hasn't been overly convincing, but has just gritted her teeth and found a way to win. So her being there is, you know, still a dangerous component on that other side.
Yeah, let's look at the Alex de Minaur, the stuff. So speaking of Madison Keys, I loved some of her interview last night. She gets around to the restaurants in Melbourne. She was rating all the restaurants in Melbourne. Chin Chin was her particular favourite. So good to see she's enjoying some of the Melbourne culinary scene. But this is such an interesting match for Alex de Minaur. We've got some young guns left, and we've got some. The men's is really interesting. We've got some old timers that are rejuvenated, like Gael Monfils and Marin Cilic. You got Rafa still there, and then you got these young guns coming through as well. And one of them certainly is Sinner. I mean, this looks tough on paper for Alex, doesn't it?
Well, if this match was played 12 months ago, I would go Jannik Sinner would win, I think, comfortably.
Okay.
But just what I've seen of Alex in this tournament, the way he started the year at the ATP Cup, the energy levels, he's doing things a little easier, which we've been crying out for, because, you know, everything to win a point for Alex is, you know, high octane. It's full tilt, giving it everything. But he's getting a little easier on the service games, you know, in terms of getting to 30 love, 40 love. And that's good. He can conserve a bit of energy and then really dig in for the returns, which he loves. And he's definitely hitting the ball harder. And that's been noticeable with some of the numbers that have come up, Jules. So he's ripping it through the court, not allowing his opponent the time. And this is what Alex tries to do. He tries to take the time away from you by taking the ball early on the rise, redirecting, and then if his approach shot's good enough, he's in. I mean, those wheels are in. He's a beautiful volleyer. But Sinner deserves all the respect. I mean, incredible 4 years from unranked to top 10. And, you know, it was Sinner who has won their two meetings. Of course, we go back to that next-gen finals, 2019. It was Alex, more established. He was young Sinner who announced himself. I reckon that would sit in the mind of Alex that, you know, Sinner's got all the plaudits. He's risen higher than Alex. Alex is just a fraction older. I think he'd love to say today, hey, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me as part of the next gen for the next 10 years. So I think Alex will be up for it. It's almost like he could play tennis 24/7 at the moment. They are the energy levels. But, yeah, if he takes his chances and gets this crowd behind him, I give him certainly a chance.
And what about, I know you're a big Denis Shapovalov fan, and it was an amazing victory yesterday, just against Zverev to beat him in straight sets. I don't think anyone saw that coming. It's good. Not enough people are called Denis these days and not enough sportsmen. So it's good to see another Denis doing some good things. But this match against Nadal is going to be fascinating tomorrow. What have you made of Rafa's form so far? And I guess if Shapovalov can knock off Zverev, he can knock off Nadal.
Yeah, I think Denis is, has been building to these sort of moments. I mean, he made a semi of Wimbledon last year, and he's putting himself in the frame as his, his fellow countryman Felix Auger-Aliassime, who'll play today, who made a semi of the U.S. Open last year. So these two Canadians are the real deal. Very different. I mean, a lot of people have focused on Zverev today, how poor he looked. I know Boris Becker's gone to town on Big Sasha. And look, he can get down on himself when the chips are down. He sort of lumbered around. He couldn't really get into the match. But, credit to Denis. I mean, he does serve exceptionally well. He's damaging off the ground. He's got all the tools. He's just trying to rein it in so that he doesn't, play that trigger shot too early, that he just has a fraction more patience. So if he has that, I mean, he's got the firepower and the just the charisma out on court to certainly go to the top of the sport for mine. Rafa, he's looked pretty solid. I mean, apart from incredible first set yesterday in a 28-minute tiebreaker, I mean, that's Manarino had nothing, absolutely nothing after that. He was cramping up and taking some tablets in the heat of the day. No, but that's what Rafa does. Once he wins that first set, 117 wins, 4 losses on a hard court at the 2 hard court majors, Jules. He doesn't get beaten too often. So Rafa looks, he could go a second week. He doesn't look like he's troubled by anything. And Shapovalov will play lights out. Yeah, Denis, definitely a chance. I mean, he can't back in Rafa at 35 just to be a fait accompli. He makes a final or a semi because these young guys are hungry. They want to take his scalp.
You've got to watch those crafty Frenchmen, BP. Manarino, very crafty. That was a fantastic first set yesterday, as you mentioned. So tonight, really interesting other men's match. Taylor Fritz and Stefanos Tsitsipas. I just want to talk to you about the Elise Cornet story. Talk about journey woman. Never made a quarter final, but never misses Grand Slams. What chance has she got today against Simona Halep, who, obviously been to the final here before and has got a pretty good record in Australia?
Yeah, Cornet. I mean, you talk about just trying to make a living out of the sport, and some players will just never get to the top. And she did get back to, she was world number 11 years ago before, some big hitters really came along. But if you can have, she's had 15 years in the top 100, which means you're making all the slams. You're guaranteed at least that as your base payment for the year. And, she's carved out a pretty solid career staying that long inside the top 100, which is not easy. But look, Halep, I mean, it's almost like we haven't even really taken much notice of her, which is quite strange for a two-time slam winner, and she's been a finalist here. But she's just been going about her work, no fuss. I think today she'll crank it up a notch as she does in the second week, and you'll have a bit too much for Cornet. But she's a fighter, Elise, and there's always a little bit of drama as well. Jules, she can have a meltdown here and there. She wears her heart on her sleeve, but. No, I think Simona Halep will be, for mine, too good in that one.
Crafty French woman, is she, would you say, Elise?
Well, I don't know if crafty. I don't know if I'd call her crafty. I call her lots of things, but not crafty.
She had a bit of a meltdown the other day, which was good to watch, but she bounced back very well. BP, thanks again for your time. Good calling today and tonight.
Indeed. Thank you, Jules.